big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Ho, 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 everyone. Hello, hello, hello. How are you guys doing? Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, and this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital online world. And today, I'm bringing back my friend Ben Kearns. He's been on the podcast a few different times, and we're going to talk about Christmas. It's that time of year. It's Christmas season. We've passed Thanksgiving. We're getting ready for Christmas, and we're getting ready probably for one of the busiest times of years for your church, and in particular for your student ministry. So I've brought Ben back on, who is a veteran student minister and just minister in general, and we're going to talk about what does it mean to, or how do you effectively juggle this season? How do you become the best father you can be, the best parent you can be, the best student minister? What are you teaching your kids? What are you teaching your students? And how are you juggling all the craziness of this time of year and do it effectively? And then for a nice little tidbit, I kind of sprung this on Ben last minute, but I threw out the question of, and this is a question I saw in different threads on some of the student ministry message boards, but do you ruin Christmas for kids, especially the younger kids, the middle school kids who still believe in Santa Claus? Do you say that there is no Santa Claus? And so we kind of talk about that issue, and so we'll get to see how that plays out as well. But it's good catching up with Ben. So without any further ado, we're going to get into the conversation right now. Okay, I get to welcome back Ben Kearns to the podcast. Ben, how are you doing?
Heyo, I'm doing good.
Hey, that was a great intro. I like that. Hey, man, so, you know, it's been a little bit since we caught up. What have you been up to lately? How's life? How's the blog? How are things going?
You know, everything's going really well. I mean, you know, we're doing ministry and we're doing youth ministry as always, which is really fun. We have, you know, kids falling in love and kids breaking up. And kids coming to know Jesus and kids question their faith, all the usual stuff. It's been a really fun fall. And yeah, it's been a great season of reflection for me. You asked how things were going with my blog, and we talked earlier about my book. And it's funny, about every year, every 6 months or so, God kind of keeps bringing me around this idea of all of that stuff, all the extra ministry stuff I do on social media. And I don't know if this is the same for you too, Tom, but it's not for me, or it's not to get famous. It's actually a spiritual discipline to be reflective and to process stuff, to think through things well. And it's just a platform for that, so that my heart stays soft for Jesus and for doing ministry in the place that God's put me. I don't know, do you experience that with your blog and writing and social media mayhem?
No, dude, man, I'm all about getting popular. I want to be the number one person and famous, and that's what I want to. That's what I'm. No, just kidding. But
well, when you already are that person, I guess that's easy.
Stop. The funny thing for me is that when I first started out as a middle school intern, and I had this career path for me, I said
in like 1972.
1972. I wasn't even born. I'm old, 75, but. But no, I wanted to have my PhD in youth ministry, and I wanted to be the expert, and I wanted to be the man. And it's so funny, it's kind of nice and humbling as you get older. That, at least for me, my ego gradually went down and down. It was kind of funny too, because I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was asking me to preach, and I said, you know, that kind of stuff just is not as important as it used to be years ago. I used to always think that preaching and being that upfront person was the thing I had to do. Not anymore, man. I'm good being behind the scenes, getting things done. I love doing ministry, but I'm definitely with you. It's a very humbling thing, and I'm just grateful to be part of conversations, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
So, well, what did you do over Thanksgiving? We just had Thanksgiving, so...
Yeah, we had a great Thanksgiving. Spent time with our family. I've always wanted to have like be a part of like the church turkey bowl, you know, gather all the kids or all the kids that come home from break and do that. And, but what's wild is in our context, our kids don't really come home for Thanksgiving. And so it's actually a really slow week around the church. We, cancel Sunday school for church. We have like a sharing time, and it's kind of allows our whole church and our staff, to just kind of enjoy a week. So I'm coming off a week feeling pretty rested as we enter into the Christmas mayhem.
Yes. And I'm glad you said Christmas mayhem, because I wanted to, this is the whole point of the podcast today, is this time in between Thanksgiving and the end of the year. It's this complete mayhem that we encounter every year. And in fact, you actually just wrote a blog post about this, and I didn't even know about it until just the other day, but this awesome blog post about the Advent season. Talk about a little bit about your blog, what you wrote about, and the kind of the thought process that went behind that.
I think the biggest thing is we always try to do all this great stuff for our students, and we try to get them to experience God, and we're always teaching them and making them go through the rituals and the liturgies and all that kind of stuff. I always try to have all of our students kind of go through some sort of spiritual discipline, and we try to have them encounter Jesus in a different way and try to be creative and do all this extra special stuff for them. And what I found is a couple years ago is I'm just teaching out of my butt. Like, it's just something that encountered when I was younger, and then now I'm just doling it out for students, and realized I think Jesus still wants to meet me in a fresh way and in a new way. And am I even still expected for Jesus to show up in anything new or fresh? And so really trying to spend this Advent making sure I'm not just telling kids what to do, but I'm like walking along this Advent season with them, being expectant and working on my prayer life and being reflective and trying to make space even in the midst of all the chaos, which is kind of hard to do.
No, I would agree with you 100%, because I found myself often, I do so much preparation for our students experiencing it, the social media aspect of what I do and the online stuff, and then also my own family. I'm trying to make this Christmas season a very enjoyable thing for them and what they do. And, I often feel like I lose sight of it. In fact, when we were setting up Christmas decorations this weekend, we broke out the Advent wreath. And my second daughter, she's 12 now, she said, "Daddy, what's this again?" And we had I felt so convicted. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is the Advent wreath," and we went into it a little bit, but I'm like, I have to be better, not just as a person, but as a father, of really teaching my own children the real meaning behind this and really invested in my family in during this Christmas season. I mean, do you find that to be true? With your family, how do you juggle all that you do with what you're doing at church and what you're doing with teenagers and then your own family? How do you do that?
Oh man. Well, not well, for sure. I think what's been really helpful though for me, and I thought about this in student ministry a couple years ago, and then I've been trying to really implement it, and also with my own family, is like, I remember growing up and singing Christmas carols in school, in the car, and, you know, going and caroling to people's homes and having Christmas parties. And so all those songs and all those rituals were like so deeply ingrained in me. And they're not ingrained in our students. They're not ingrained in my own kids. And so I think there was a season where I kept trying to make Christmas really interesting and really fresh. And what's the new perspective about Christmas that I can tell our students, or the new perspective on Advent, and realize our kids don't even know, "Oh, come all ye faithful." Like, I don't know, like, they don't know that stuff because it's not part of our cultural world anymore. And so instead of like, being new, we're actually just being old, and we just sing the simple Christmas carols and the simple tunes. We do the simple Christmas story. We read the simple verses. It's not interesting at all, but because it's totally different and new, really, for our kids and my own personal kids, they actually get a ton out of it. And so I think in some sense, being a part of the church and taking on the mantle of the church's job is to be the one that passes on faith from generation to generation. And I think the evangelical church has kind of moved away from that. And the family was the institution to pass on faith from generation to generation. But the family's too much in flux. There's too much chaos and too much individual stuff. And I don't know, it's kind of old school and liturgical, but I think that that's the church's job. And so as someone who works for the church, want to be faithful in that task.
You know, I love what you just said here about just going back to the simple and going back to, I think, the basics of things. And again, I'm going to promote your book on this one, but I think it's kind of back with what you said in your book, From the Pen to the Palace, about how from generation to generation, we've been removed ourselves from the Christness of, for instance, Christmas. And they don't even know these stories. They don't even know the meanings of these hymns that they'll hear. I mean, I'll listen to the Christmas music station, you know, on our local radio station. They'll sing, "Oh, no," you know, "Noel" and "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." But it's be kind of interesting if we, what if we, and I'm talking about me in particular too, what if we in our student ministry just went back to the basics and really just taught from the very beginning of, hey, what is this? Let's go over the Christmas story. We don't have to get ultra creative over the course of our Christmas season. We just have to tell the story and let them help them process.
Oh my gosh, totally. And I think it'd be a fun test, you know, to ask your students, you know, give them a little quiz, and I'm sure we'd be horrified as far as, you know, how do the shepherds fit in? What did the angels say? Who's Mary? Have you ever heard of Elizabeth? You know, it's like, I don't think they would know. I think we think they would know because in our memory, we've had so many Christmases under our belts. But for adolescents who are just horny and want to make out under the mistletoe, they haven't thought twice about who any of those people are. And so, yeah, to reestablish all those people, all those characters, and let them identify with them and wrestle with them. And plus, it helps us that, you know, we don't have to come with anything new. All that stuff is deep within us, hopefully. So we just get to share all of the rich stuff that's in us already.
Dude, you have just changed the way I'm going to get my message this Sunday to our student. Because seriously, I'm like, this is so right on. Well, truthfully, we are talking about the different characters of the Christmas story, but really I'm in charge of giving the overview of it. And this is what I have a real good challenge now because of it. So that's great, dude. This is awesome. So tell me this. Let me ask you this other big Christmas kind of question. You know, you have your Christmas season. You do your, you know, you do the Christmas stuff with the students.
Yep.
Do you take any kind of break in between at this time of year? It's a kind of a weird. It's a very busy time of year up until Christmas Eve. But then do you take any kind of break?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I can tell in your question and from our conversations we've had in the past, people are really divided, you know, what are we paid to do and what do students need and should we do Christmas parties and when should those be and New Year's gatherings and, you know, same thing like an alternative to Halloween. And it's always, you know, and I think there was a season when people in the church always wanted an alternative for their kids to be a part of something. And at least in our context, church is not an alternative for people anymore. I mean, it's a kind of a weird, unique thing that some kids do. There's no social pressure to be there. And our kids are busy with sports and school and finals. And I think what we found is instead of competing with all of that, just to give everybody a natural break, let them do their finals, let them be with their families, give our youth staff a time of break too. And then when we come back in January, everyone's actually excited to be with each other. And I can't tell how much of this is spiritual and how much of it is just my own insecurity. I always hated planning youth group and having a third of the kids show up.
Yeah.
And all the kids are like, "Oh, what's going on here?" Or they're like, "This sucks." Or, you know, they're they question what you're doing. You question what you're doing because you plan this thing that no one came to. And I feel like it actually hurts momentum as opposed to going, if only a third of the kids are going to show up, I'm going to cancel it. And then it actually creates a longing for it. It gives it it keeps it fresh. And then, you know, do something different, like go see a Christmas movie together as a youth group. And if only four kids show up, it's not a fail, as opposed to if you open up the youth room and a third of the kids show up, I think it's a fail. But people totally disagree with me. But that's just my perspective. So we take a couple weeks off right before Christmas, and we come back right after New Year's.
Well, I see, and that's the thing, and that's what we do, and that's what I've always done. is that when there's that natural break there, I mean, again, we're still going to have church and you're going to go to church, but you'll get to connect with kids there. But instead of doing youth groups, do like an impromptu, let's go watch a movie together. Especially with the new Star Wars movie coming out. By the way, are you excited about that one or no?
I already have my tickets for Thursday night, of course.
Dude, that's awesome. Okay, man. I mean, so we should swap Star Wars stories because we were both alive and well when the originals came out. And we'll have to do that for another podcast sometime.
That sounds good.
But I will say, I mean, again, with some good movies out over the holiday season, it's a good time to do these impromptus and so that you're not doing a, hey, let's do youth group, and then, like you said, a third of the people come out. If you said, hey, let's go to the movies, and a third of the people come out, then that really isn't a failure. But, you know, and then if a new kid comes, they're like, oh, we're just going to the movies anyways. This isn't, like, official youth group stuff. So I would agree with you on that one. I always look forward to it as a time to take a little bit of time off, refresh. And, again, like you said, it gives kids an excitement about kicking off the new year together. Yeah. So,
you know, one thing that I've noticed from the two different camps too, I mean, you're a veteran and you've been at your church also for a long time. And I think there's this anxiety of wanting to get enough hours with kids. Like, you know, you need enough hours with kids to kind of build significant memories, to make sure you're part of their life and part of this season of their life and this journey. And, you know, like when I was a brand new youth worker, even in my current context, I never canceled because I needed every opportunity I could to get hours with kids. So I felt like I was connected with them and they knew I loved them and they didn't fall off the planet. But after being at my church for 10 years, I have all the hours I need with kids and they have all the hours they need with me. Like I love them. They know I love them. They love me. And so taking a break isn't costly like it was when I first started. So maybe that might be part of the anxiety as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I would agree with you completely on that. Okay, last question I have for you. And this is also a hot topic because I've been a part of some youth ministry threads that have been discussing this. And I want your experience. I want your honest answer here.
I like that you didn't even prep me ahead of time for this question.
I know.
You're going to give me some hot topic question, right?
I'm going to give you this. I want to hear your raw answer. Is it your job? Is it your place to tell kids that there is no Santa?
No.
Okay, good.
No. Of course not. Okay, good.
We are in the same page. I've actually, again, different youth ministers, especially, honestly, I do think this is a young youth minister approach as opposed to an older youth minister approach. But I've seen a lot of young youth ministers over the past few weeks share that they told the kids that there is no Santa and it broke some kids' hearts and they got angry phone calls and that the parents are wrong here.
Oh, my God.
My opinion is, honestly, Ben, is that it's not our place to tell people. I mean, families do what families are going to do. And my job is to talk about Jesus Christ.
Dude,
and,
you know. 100% agree. And all the kids who don't believe in Santa when they're like little kids are the jerkiest kids ever. And if you want your kids to actually love Jesus and love Christmas, they have to believe in Santa. To take Santa out of the equation takes all of the fun and excitement about Christmas and is age appropriate. It's what 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds get to be about. And then when they're 11 and 12 and 8, 9, kind of in that middle ballpark, when they start figuring it out, you know, like my son, he doesn't believe. You make sure he knows, I don't believe. But there's something about the expectation, Christmas, all those things. And then as they become developmentally able to learn about Advent, they've had a decade and a half of experiences of being, of anticipating Christmas, of waiting for Christmas, of writing Christmas lists, of, you know, waiting for Santa, all those make-believe things that are part of the kid's imagination. So that old school, fundy, Santa ruins Christmas, those guys are ill-informed and have their head up their butts, in my humble opinion.
Yes.
And even if you don't believe in Santa, I still agree with you. That our job is to proclaim Jesus, and families are coming to us from all different backgrounds. And so they're going to be divorced and gay and lesbian and believe in Santa to not believe in Santa to everything under the sun. And if we want to have an inviting community where all are welcome, we got to choose our battles. And I just don't think Santa's one of them.
Dude, actually, you summed that up really much more effectively than I did. So I'm going to take that one and run with it, because I agree with you 100%. And so, you know, these are, it seems, to be honest, silly little arguments, silly discussions that we have, but these are legitimate things that happen. And I think if we want families to discover God and to come to know Jesus, you know, we have to meet them where they're at. And if they believe in Santa Claus, okay. It's not my job to say, no, son, there is no Santa Claus. You know, because it is. I mean, even for me, you know, as a father of four daughters, I love to make Christmas a magical experience for them. And Santa's a part of that. I mean, half my kids believe in Santa Claus still. The other half are old enough they know. But they don't ruin it for the other two. And it's just kind of a fun little thing to do along with it. We ultimately know that Jesus Christ is the reason we celebrate Christmas, not because Santa brings us gifts, you know. So
yeah. Yeah. Anyway. And if you're all hopped up on that, then kill the Easter Bunny, you know, the pagan fertility god that competes with the resurrected Jesus. I could get behind that, but not Santa.
The Easter Bunny's a whole different story on that one. I would agree with you on that. All right, Ben. Well, listen, it's always great catching up with you, always great talking with you. I will have all the links to Ben's stuff, his book, his blog, and especially the blog about Advent attached to the show notes, so you can check those out. So thanks, Ben, for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Good catching up. Love you, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Ben. Again, I always love catching up with him. He may be a West Coast guy, I may be an East Coast guy, but we are very similar in how we approach ministry, and as you can tell, we're very similar in some of the thoughts that we have about juggling this, making this effective for your family, for your students, and then this whole Santa Claus debate. To be honest, it's a silly debate. We don't even need to get into this debate as a student minister, because it's not our place to talk about Santa Claus. We're paid to talk about Jesus Christ. So we don't need to ruin this for anybody and say, there is no Santa Claus, because that's not the point of what we're trying to communicate. We're trying to communicate Christ, and we're trying to reach people about where they are. So it was a great conversation talking with Ben. I'm pleased with what he's got going on. He's got a great ministry over there on the West Coast, and he's got a great blog. So if you haven't checked it out, again, click on the show notes and check that out. You know, you can find Ben's blog every now and then at the Sidekick Scoop. It's a twice a month email newsletter that I send out. I compile a bunch of different resources from a bunch of different sources and put them together in one nice email. All you have to do is sign up with the Sidekick Scoop. You can find the link on the show notes, or you can find it just by going to ymsidekick.com. Click the Sidekick Scoop, sign up for it. It's twice a month. I promise you it's not going to be spam or anything like that. It's great ministry tools, some great podcasts, some great blogs, and some just overall encouragement for you. So check it out. Sign up for the Sidekick Scoop. All right. Also, I'd love to hear what you're doing for Christmas. What are you doing for this time of year? How are you juggling? How are you being the best parent? How are you being the best student minister? How are you being the best minister to those people? And are you taking any kind of break? I'd love to hear if you're taking a break during this time of year as well. So share it along with me at YM Sidekick. Use the hashtag YM Sidekick. Hit me up at TA Pounder if you want to as well. I'd love to hear what you're doing right now. All right, everyone. Well, I hope you do enjoy this time of year. It's a very magical time of year. I love this time of year. So I hope you enjoy this with your family. I hope you enjoy this in your ministry. And I will see you next week.